I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit crop.com. Metcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Johnny Cakesawville.
Yeah, hello.
Join us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Somebody who played for Jason Bishop's favorite team, the 49ers.
Yep.
Now he works for the NBC Bay Area as an analyst. It's Dante Whitner. What's up, Dante?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for waking up super early on the West Coast. It is appreciated.
Appreciate that, man.
Well, you know, I always wake up early. I'm up at like 4:15 every morning. So,
wow. What do you do? Are you one of those got early morning workout guys?
Yeah, I get up early morning workout. I put an hour and a half of film study in, read a few articles for the week, and try to do it daily. So I'm up early, pretty much every day.
Dante, you're a Cleveland guy, I believe. Did you grow up a Browns fan or a Bengals fan?
I actually grew up a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I was the biggest Brian Dawkins fan in the world. And I tried to emulate my game after Brian Dawkins in college and the NFL. So it wasn't more so about the team. It was about the individual. And I just appreciated the way he played the game at a high level every weekend.
Well, you did the same thing, man. And I was jacked.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I've been a Niner fan since I was, you know, in my teens. And when we got you from Buffalo, we needed that hard-hitting safety, and we got you, and you helped bring this team to a Super Bowl. I'm bitter at the way that ended, man. All right? I don't want to get into that. I hated the play calling. But
sounds like you're getting into it
as well.
I know you did. I mean, how many times are we going to throw the Crabtree? Unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. It brings me pain every time I hear it.
But you were a fantastic player. So we've been talking about this game, and I'm a Jimmy G guy. I don't think he's on the Mahomes level, the Josh Allen. He's not, okay? But I think he's just a winner. He just makes big plays in big spots. And for whatever reason, Shanny has McVay's number, all right? And they've got to Stafford a lot in those two games. They had a pick six in that first game. They sacked him five times in the second game. Jimmy G made some big plays in that second game, driving him down the field to tie it, and then driving him down the field in overtime to give gold the field goal. I just feel like if Jimmy G doesn't turn the ball over in this game, I feel like they win. But I'm afraid he's going to make that boneheaded move. How are you feeling about Jimmy G in this game?
Well, I'm feeling the same. I think that he'll be fired up. You know, I think that Jimmy hears everything outside the facility, everything that's in the media. But if you look at the statistics, if you looked at the wins and losses and the win percentage, he's up there in the top five since he's been a starter in the league. And it might not look the best every time. He might not make the fans feel emotionally stable while they're watching him. But the facts are the facts. And if you win games, then you deserve to be a starter in the league. And that's why I came out earlier this week and said, do you really want to let Jimmy Garoppolo go next year? There's nothing wrong with sitting Trey Lance for 2 years. It's not as if you drafted him as a defensive tackle, cornerback, you know, somebody who's supposed to make an immediate impact. You want him to learn and make sure that when they make that transition over to Trey Lance, that he's ready, he's mature, and he's made the proper steps to continue to lead this team. And when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo last week, yeah, he threw the interception, but look at the clutch throws that he made down the stretch. Look at the sideline throw to George Kittle with the one hand. He only put the ball in a spot where only his guy can have it. Look at the slant that he threw to Deebo Samuel coming out in the third quarter. Look at the seam ball that probably would have went for a 70-yard touchdown to George Kittle if he had not dropped it.
Right.
I think that Jimmy Garoppolo makes big plays in a moment. And with this offense, Kyle Shanahan's offense, you don't need a big arm quarterback that can make every throw. You just need somebody that's efficient, somebody that's accurate, and they know the nuances of this offense, the motions, the shifts, the hard counts, getting guys lined up. Because on each and every play, there's somebody motioning, there's somebody shifting. That's not easy for a quarterback to handle. Mm-hmm. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo, three NFC championships, two NFC championships since 2019. And if he wins this game, it'd be two Super Bowls in the last three. Why would you let this quarterback walk out of your organization?
Now, we've been talking about that for the last few weeks because obviously Washington needs a quarterback, and he's one of the names that was kind of thrown out there as a possible trade piece to replace Heinicke. But what do fans out there, when you talk to fans, Niner fans, how do they feel about Jimmy G? Do they feel like he's just kind of the game manager and you can't win with him and we got to give Lance a try? Or are they saying you can't trade a guy who gets you to NFC championships two out of the last 3 years?
I'll say it goes both ways. I think that there are some fans that, you know, they just can't handle the ups and downs, the emotional shifts in the game when Jimmy throws a pick or a near pick, fumbles a ball in the pocket, and his 4.6, turnover-worthy play is bottom in the league, and that's the only thing that he's lacking. I think that you have some other fans that's like, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo wins. I don't care how it looks. I don't care how he makes me feel. It just makes for an exciting game. So I think it goes both ways. But, you know, one thing about football, one thing about an individual, when you have the opportunity and you play the quarterback position, is you can always right the ship. So people can talk outside the organization, but if you continue to win, if you bring the ultimate trophy back to the organization and back to the Bay, then what can people say about you? So Jimmy has the opportunity to write his own story, has two games to get it done. I truly believe in him.
Dante, did you ever play with anybody in your career that had the multi-positional flexibility of a guy like Deebo Samuel? I mean, he is so good in the backfield, and he's also dynamic as a wide receiver. Did you have a comp with anybody you played with that could do some of the same things that he's showing in that offense?
Not even close. I think when you watch the game, people think, oh, you can just align at running back and run it through the A, B, and C gap in the NFL. That's not the way it happens.
Right.
Try to put 99.9% of these wide receivers in the NFL that's considered a number one wide receiver that can run deep routes, that can do the whole route tree. Put them in the backfield for three snaps and see what they say to you when they come to the sideline. They might quit on you. Yeah. I promise you. So Deebo Samuel is just one of those guys that's just built differently. He's a thicker type of guy. He's about 225 pounds. He has the ability and the speed to, you know, break outside, hit you with a deep one, but it's the physicality that he brings on the interior. A lot of times he surprises defensive tackles and interior defenders and safeties and strong safeties with the amount of force and the type of pop that he brings when you try to tackle him. And that's the difference. That's the difference between the LA Rams and the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, that's the difference between the San Francisco 49ers and a lot of teams in the NFL. They've gotten away from the basics, and the basics of football has always been in the trenches and being physical. That'll never change. You can change the rules all you want, but that'll always remain a constant, and that's what the 49ers provide, and that's what they have over the LA Rams, is size and its physicality.
So, obviously, Cooper Kupp was the best receiver this year. He had crazy numbers, all right, and he killed last week, the Tampa defense.
Two pretty good games against the Niners.
Yeah, he had 11 catches in that first game for .122. I can't remember what his
numbers. 7 for 118 and a touchdown in the second one.
All right, so he's going to get his, but you got to keep him out of the end zone. So what scares you about Kupp with this 49er secondary?
Well, one thing about Kupp is 75% of his receptions come within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. So when you double a guy like this and you're underneath awareness, whether you're playing zone or man coverage with a free rat hole player, middle linebacker, looking to his side, there's no other side to look to this game. You look to Cooper Kupp. If you're the nickel and you're expecting help and you're supposed to be outside, stay outside and stop staring at the quarterback and stop staring at Cooper Kupp's shoulder and hands, because it's going to shake you out of your shoes. So what you have to do is, when you double him in obvious pass situations, you have to play in and out technique on him. He likes to run a lot of over routes. So when they go to those bootlegs and he's running the over route, the safeties have to have pre-snap communication. That middle field safety, you can't be too deep. You have to jump down, take the over route. The corners have to replace you in the middle of the field with depth to take away the deep post. And third down, when he's at the number three position, you have to have somebody in front of him, somebody over the top of him. In the red zone, when they like to run those seven routes and those switch routes, you just have to have awareness from all the defensive backs. There were times when the 49ers, the pass game, Emmanuel Mosley, you know that your guy, Jimmy Ward, has man-to-man, the hard coverage from inside leverage man. You know that they're going to set you up. Jason Verrett picked this ball off 2 years ago in 2019. How about you just slough off and pick the ball up? There was many coverages where they had the right coverage, they had the right ideas, but it was just an individual in the moment that didn't get the job done. Dante Johnson not playing his leverage in the red zone, third and eight. You have Hufanga inside. You have the nickelback outside, Dante Johnson, and you're standing at the quarterback. How do you let him break outside? We practice this all week, right? We practice these things all week. It's about executing in the moment, and that's what Cooper Kupp is good at. He's good at stepping on your toes. He's good at getting in your sight and giving you shoulder and heads and using his quickness to get open. No different from Wes Welker when he played. No different from a lot of the receivers that are smaller that can move around. The only thing with Cooper Kupp is once he catches, he's not trying to go down immediately. He's trying to get the yards after the catch. So the 49ers, if you review that last game, they had good coverage. They had the right idea. They just had a lack of execution.
Well, do you think that Jimmy Ward and Tart and those guys can communicate enough to kind of keep him at bay? And I would think Wes Welker, who's the wide receivers coach, by the way, for the Niners, would kind of help Shanny with that, as good as he was, just in terms of how they communicate in the defensive backfield. But I don't know how much they talk about offensive versus defense. But are you afraid of those safeties making those decisions in big spots against Kupp?
No, I have the utmost confidence in these safeties. They've been together for 6 years. Jaquaski Tart, Jimmy Ward, he was a Pro Bowl replacement this year. He had two interceptions the first game, week 10 versus Matthew Stafford, and ran one back in the first quarter. They're going to be key to this game. Tart last week, he had the game-saving tackle. When Aaron Jones broke that big one at the end, he had phenomenal effort from the backside, which allowed him to make the tackle. The next play, Bosa, he gets the strip fumble. They get backed up 8 more yards, and then they try to kick the field goal. Jimmy Ward blasts through and block it. That's the depiction of this 49ers defense. That's the depiction of the safeties from the 49ers, and they control the show. And I was very proud of the way that they moved around last week, disguised, knew when Aaron Rodgers wanted to snap the ball. They were okay with going to some unorthodox coverages and playing some things man-to-man because they knew they had to lean the safety towards Davante Adams. I think the safeties will control the show like they have all year. And then it's going to come down to the disguise, making Matthew Stafford hold the ball a second longer, and then you unleash that front four. But as far as running the ball, the 49ers are not going to let the L.A. Rams win the football.
I got to tell you this, though, Dante. When they brought in Josh Norman to cover Davante one-on-one on the outside, I thought, uh-oh.
I thought, asinine. Asinine.
I mean, it worked out asinine. Because there was an incompletion, then there was a sack, but I didn't like that matchup. Uh-uh.
Yeah, and those are the things that I've been talking about all year, and even not just the 49ers. It's just when you look around the league, there's not many defensive coordinators that can vary up the looks, that can take certain guys away, that can put the onus on the guys you're paying all the money to, right? That can have different variations in the way that they play coverages and certain looks. There's a small amount of defensive coordinators that actually put that amount of work in to be able to change it up on the run. The rest of them are pretty much guys that just get up on the chalkboard and they can say, hey, this is the coverage, this is how you play it. They can't really tell you the why. So I think the 49ers know their why. But they have another guy, Odell Beckham Jr., on the other side that you have to put a guy in front of and a guy behind. So whether you're playing man inside trail with a safety over the top, a hard corner inside 4 yards, getting an extremely physical jam on him, a linebacker on the inside taking away the dig, safety over the top, they're going to have two guys to contend with. But I think they'll do a good job.
Hey. Talking to Dante Whitner, former 49er, three-time Pro Bowler, analyst for NBC Bay Area. It's fascinating.
Dante's my
you
guy,
talk
by
defense.
The way. It's awesome.
I want to hear you talk about two plays, and this doesn't have to do with this upcoming game, but just your take, because as fans, we're just amazed that the Bills would allow Patrick Mahomes and that offense to do what they did. They look like they just had a regular defense and let Kelce go in the middle. I was like, why don't you just rush one guy and have six guys, almost like quarters coverage, just have six guys across the board and not let him go that far. So that Bills breakdown, and then Tampa allowing Cooper Kupp to go deep at the end. What did you see on those two plays?
Well, I think that when you look at the Buffalo Bills, and it's an end-of-game situation right there, you can either be lax or you can be very aggressive. Now, whether you play inside man, cover two, safeties over the top, there's weaknesses to that coverage to where you don't want to allow them to run the deep out routes, get out of bounds, and then have another play.
But so KC I can had understand timeouts, so the out of bounds, like they botched that to begin with because KC had timeouts.
Absolutely. So then you can play a defense to where you can just go regular defense. You can play man across the board. You can bring a man blitz. I'm always into keeping things the same in that moment, not really scaring the players and going to something that's very conservative, playing lax. How about you just play your regular defense, right? They might get a big play. They might not. But if you put the pressure on them to make a decision in the moment with guys around them, you never know what can happen. But in that situation, it was actually too easy. There was zero resistance. Travis Kelce, he changed the play right before and said, hey, I'm just going to run to the open area. Like, it was too much open area, and you knew that Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill was going to get the ball. There should have been two guys on them, and everybody else can make the play. So I don't really know what you do in that situation. If it was me, I would just have been aggressive. You can show zone across the board. You can show everybody covered up. When they're ready to snap the ball, you can hit them with an all-out zero blitz, make the ball come out quick, tackle them, make them get up, clock it, make them call a timeout, or throw it to the end zone. So, you know, I think it was a phenomenal game. I think the Buffalo Bills just got the short end of the stick. If they would have had one more possession, who knows what would have happened.
Well, they would have scored if they had one more possession because that's what was happening. How about the cut play at the end? Well, where's the breakdown on Tampa's defense there?
Oh, you're talking about the cover two play. When it was, you're talking about the touchdown, the deep one.
No. The deep one would set up the game winning field goal.
The cover zero or whatever they called it.
I think it was
the cover zero. Yeah, but I think Tampa, they were reeling all towards the end of the year. The perception was that their defensive line was dominant and can get pressure with the four and they can beat a five-man box blocking, but they couldn't. And it showed up in the playoffs. And your deficiencies show up in the playoffs. This was why Ty Bowles blitzed a lot. 18 times he blitzed Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford ripped him for 143 yards, a touchdown, and almost 12 yards per pass. So I think he regressed that, but he had to do what he had to do. And that right there, that's what I was talking about. You can either be aggressive and try to not allow them into scoring position, right, or you can play lax. I think Ty Bowles, he went aggressive there, but he could have done it in a different manner. You can still show zone coverage. You don't have to just get up there at the line of scrimmage. Long as your players are good actors and they understand the timing and when the ball is going to be snapped, they could be at the line of scrimmage. When the ball is snapped, all defensive backs can maneuver inside leverage, 6-7 yards, sitting flat-footed. That's when it can work. But if you align across the board, show Matthew Stafford that and Sean McVay, then you're going to get the outcome that you got.
Dante, real quick, 30 seconds. When you were here in 2016, you guys were 8-7-1. I think you guys tied Cincinnati over in England or something. I can't remember what happened in those last few games. But did you like Kirk Cousins as a person?
I did like Kirk Cousins as a person. He was, just like an ordinary guy.
Right.
Drove his little van, come to work hard every day. Uh-huh. I never had any complaints about Kirk Cousins. And I felt that he did put the work in Washington. There was a lot of the guys around him that didn't put in the work, and then that showed up on the field. But as far as Kirk Cousins as a person,
you liked him,
as a professional, about a leader, Kirk Cousins was the man.
What about Deshaun?
Deshaun was more so
selfish.
No, I wouldn't say selfish. I would say he was more laid back.
Right.
He actually wanted to win. I don't think that they came from lineages and coaching staffs and organizations where they understood how to win.
Yeah.
Right, but he would go out there and run fast every route. He would go out there and give his all and practice every route. But it wasn't. It was more so than that. It's the leadership in the locker room. It's about bringing other guys along with you and teach them the way. And I don't think that we really had that in the locker room there in Washington.
You're the best, man,
Dante. Great stuff.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Just talk soon.
Hey, have a good weekend. All right.
Thanks, man.
Dante Whitner, former Niner, did play with Washington for a season. Now an analyst for NBC Bay Area. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. A lot of great reaction to our interview with Dante Whitner. He was fantastic.
He's awesome.
I know Jason.
I love him.
You can talk. I think we could have talked to him
4 hours
easily.
I could do a 4-hour show
just breaking down defenses. Like, I'm listening to him. Like, why isn't he in a coordinator in the league or something?
I know, man. He just knows it. He gets it. He knows the
smart
game.
Smart dude. Plugged smart. In.
And he communicates it very well, so he'll
awesome.
Be very
successful. And he probably has some great stories from being here. He was only here a year, but he's probably got some great stories.
Lock, he does.
Hey, we're going to hook up listeners in the next two segments with tickets to go see our friends from OAR. In fact, we're going to hook up the 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067 with a pair of tickets to OAR and Dispatch, the Summer Tour 2022. Friday, August 26th at Merriweather Post Pavilion. Tickets are on sale. You can buy them now at Ticketmaster.com. So caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You will score your pair of tickets to go see our friends from OAR.
Very good.
Right now, we open up the entertainment page with Johnny Cakes Auville because EB is in New York City trying to dodge the snow.
He's pretty happy. He paid like $70 in tolls driving to New York City for his son's rescheduled lax scrimmage.
So the rescheduled scrimmage is for today, correct?
Believe yes. so, yeah. They pushed it up. I guess they pushed it up a day.
Because New York's going to get hammered too tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he's got to get out of town unless he wants to hang out. Look at the Statue of Liberty for a weekend.
He wants to hang out in Queens.
He better get on the road pretty early tomorrow.
Probably should. All right, this story would have led my EP and EB's entertainment page. This is the first story he put on the sheet that he sent me.
What is it, like a Motley Crue sex tape?
No, it's not.
A combination of both worlds?
I'll just read you the headline.
Of course, the headline.
Drew Barrymore reveals she was previously in an open relationship with Luke Wilson, quote, "We were young." She was discussing it with Kate Hudson, who joined her on the Drew Barrymore show, and Kate Hudson said, "Oh, you did that with Luke Wilson? I basically did the same thing with Owen Wilson."
Well, doesn't that just mean you're not like in a serious relationship?
Yeah,
when you say you're an open relationship, isn't that just like you're dating, but you can date other people?
Right. And if you're the Wilson brothers in the like probably early to mid 90s,
you were killing
it. Those guys are crushing it. They're just destroying it. So of course they're not going to be just hanging out with
Drew Barrymore. Look normal and then Owen looks weird.
I mean, I guess
because that's what their parents look like.
Yeah, I guess he got his nose broken along the way. His nose is all banged up. That's his signature. That's his hallmark, right? That's his calling card. You know what? I don't think it's slowed him down. Okay, in his conquest of women in Hollywood over the last 25 or 30 years.
No,
I think he's doing okay. So apparently,
plus he's funny. He's funny. So girls probably love it. They love the fact that he's a star and he's got this good personality.
He's definitely funny.
I'm a bigger Luke guy than Owen.
Really?
I kind of like Luke.
I mean, I like Luke too, but I mean.
I'm Team Owen.
Is he really that funny in anything outside of Old School? And he's not even the really
he's the
funny
straight
guy.
There.
Yeah. Like the funny one is Owen.
He was sneaky funny in Family Stone Christmas movie. One of my favorites.
You love the hype.
I know.
You know what?
Sneaky funny.
I'm going to make it my mission in 2022.
Uh-huh.
Watch that movie.
I'm sure Wedding Crashers wasn't funny.
No, he was great in that.
I'm sure Hall Pass wasn't funny.
What about the Google movie?
The internship.
yeah, internship. Funny.
Wedding Crashers was obviously funny.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the funniest actor in that movie.
No, no. Vince Vaughn funnier.
Not even close.
But does Family Stone have tummy sticks references?
Yeah.
No, it's a Christmas movie. Of course not. I'm just telling you, he's sneaky funny in it.
But I caught some of Wedding Crashers' edited version.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just, and it goes for anything it's edited. It's just not nearly as good. Not nearly as funny.
Plus, Owen has a weird voice. Like his tone of his voice is weird.
Hey, you know what movie slept on? What Owen Wilson classic?
Hold on.
Owen Wilson classic.
What year?
Oh, geez. It's got to be early 2000s.
I need a hint.
It was a buddy movie.
A buddy hangout, slap your knee, jocular movie.
Yeah. With an international superstar.
International superstar.
I'm looking at his filmography now. I can't.
Scanning the memory banks here.
Shanghai Noon with Jackie Chan.
I was about to say, did he do a vehicle with Jackie Chan at some point?
You know, but funny.
Didn't see it.
Watch that over the AFC and NFC championship games on Sunday.
Another movie that Valdez always hypes up that I've yet to watch that I've told him I will at some point. He loves to hype up Hall Pass.
Hall Pass is butt funny. Has J.B. Smoove in it.
Oh, I like J.B. Smoove.
Was it Jason Sudeikis?
Sudeikis a good is cast. Funny.
I missed that one.
Hey, his dating history includes
a
couple of sillies.
List.
I mean, I don't know most of these names. I don't know who Scarlett Benchley or Caroline Lindquist is or Jade Duhl, but includes actually three that you would know.
Okay.
Kate Hudson, who we mentioned.
Hottie. Yep. Smoking Hottie.
Almost Famous. Sully.
Sheryl Crow.
Okay.
And former Junkies guest, Gina Gershon.
Decimated.
By the way, Kate Hudson.
He decimated it.
Former Junkies guest.
We had Kate Hudson on the show?
Yep.
When?
100%.
What? Oh, you know,
because I told her that my mother and my aunts went to high school with her mom,
Decimated?
Goldie Hawn, at Montgomery Blair High School.
Oh, that's right. She's a Blair Blazer. I forgot that.
Yes. And she said, oh, really? I just told her how hot she was.
Decimated?
Kate Hudson's my girl. I love
her.
She's
Penny Lane and Almost Famous. You kind of snooze on that role.
I mean, I saw it. It was aight.
You're such a loser.
How dare you? Almost Famous?
I mean, it's okay.
I'm going to. This may be a bold statement.
Don't tell me it's one of your top 10 movies of all
Almost
time.
Famous, it belongs in great movie status. Along with, I'm going to go down memory lane here, Gladiator, Braveheart.
You're going to put Almost Famous on Gladiator level?
Yes,
come on.
I put it in that same
Did you fall out of your bed level. Next to Amy?
You're such a loser.
And fall down the steps going to your office.
Why do you sleep on Stillwater?
I was getting ready to say, you don't know the name of the band in Almost Famous.
You think I don't know Stillwater? You think I don't know that? Stop that already.
I mean, I saw it, but there's no way I'd say it's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Go back and rewatch it.
Yeah, all right, I'll do that.
Ozark.
Yeah, I'll do that.
For the fifth time.
No, after you watch Shanghai Noon.
I'm more likely to watch Hall Pass than I am Shanghai Noon going forward.
I just think Kate Hudson's just money. How old is she? 45?
Yeah, I think Drew Barrymore is 46.
Actually, she's 42. She's 42.
Okay, she's 42.
Yeah.
All right, Jason, this is sad news for you. The next time you go to Vegas, you will not be able to see Adele with her residency at Caesar's Palace. She had to postpone the entire Vegas residency just 24 hours before opening night. She said, I'm so sorry, but my show ain't ready. Half me team have COVID. It's been impossible to finish the show. It's exactly what Adele sounds like. And I can understand her being distraught. Because with the ticket prices ranging from $85 for the cheapies all the way up to $685 for the sillies, she was forecast to make more than $500K per performance at Caesar's Palace. Get yourself a Vegas residency if you're a pop star or a rock star. They pay pretty well.
Well, she'll make
those. Pretty good gig.
She'll make them up. She'll end up getting that $500K.
Oh, yeah, she'll make the money back.
And who's she with? She's with, like, LeBron's agent now? Is that the deal?
She with Rich Paul?
I think so. I think that's the boy toy.
Did not know that.
I hear there's rumors on the internet.
There are. Speaking of rumors on the internet, George, this is a vicious rumor being spread by Kanye West. He's allegedly spreading the rumor that Pete Davidson has AIDS.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's about as low as it gets, right?
I would say so. Well, what is Pete Davidson saying?
I mean, sources close to Davidson confirm what DJ Academics, whoever that is, claimed earlier this week. Quote, Kanye's been telling everybody within earshot that Pete has AIDS.
That's not right.
God, he's weird.
That makes me think of Team America.
TMZ's been told that Kanye's claim is made for a few awkward phone calls, you think, between Pete and mutual friends that he has with Kanye, who are confused and disturbed by the childish behavior. So that's not a great rumor to be spreading.
Is Kanye one of the worst people on the planet?
He's definitely a weirdo.
I'm not going to put him on the level of murderers and rapists. And
what do you mean worst people?
He's just a bad person. Don't you think?
Oh, I don't think he's a bad person.
You don't
think
Kanye's a bad person?
Like in terms of just being... Like,
why would he come out and say that?
I don't know.
Because he's bitter.
He's a weirdo.
Pete Davidson is banging Kim K.
I think it goes beyond bitterness.
He's trying to get them broken up.
He's a bad dude. Sorry, that's my opinion.
Final story on the app. Jason, if you have if you have 71...
You like him? Please.
Jason, do you have an extra 71K lying around?
Extra? No. I've got 71K somewhere, not just laying around.
If you have 71K that you would like to spend on the AMC Pacer that was featured in Wayne's World, the original Wayne's World, where they did the Bohemian Rhapsody bit... You could buy it at auction for $71,000.
That is wrong.
I wouldn't even, if I had FU money, I had just money just, you know, falling out of my pockets, I would never spend $71K on that.
No, of course you wouldn't.
I don't think anybody would.
You think the guy from Pawn Stars is bitter that he bought it and spruced it up and he sold it for like $36K a few years ago? Now it's going for double. Rick, he's salty. Is it Rick Harrison?
Yeah.
The Pawn Stars.
Or Chum Lee.
Chumley's so bitter. He's so salty that he didn't get his grubby little hands on that Pacer.
Mm-hmm.
That's your EP. Those are your stories.
We still have
that
pair
made
of
my
tickets.
Weekend. That EP.
We still have a pair.
I enjoyed
of tickets
it.
Giveaway.
How dare you?
For OAR. So stay tuned for that and keep it here on the Fan. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. By the way, the Junkies poll of the day brought to you by Van Meter Homes. It was a laugher. It was kind of not the best poll of the day. But
all right.
We have to come up with one every day.
Sure.
Okay? So I put it up at Junks Radio. It was, will this weekend's NFL matchups live up to the hype like last week's great games? 84% say no. But hey, we got the poll of the day. We got the plug, most importantly, Cakes.
That's right. Van Meter Homes, I believe. Jason lives in a Larry Fitzgerald. He's a big fan. He loves it.
All right, right now, we're going to hook up the listeners. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Hook up with a pair of tickets to OAR and Dispatch Summer Tour 2022 on Friday, August 26th at Merriweather Post Pavilion. Tickets are on sale, but you can buy them now at Ticketmaster.com.
It's a good way to close out summer, seeing the boys from OAR belt out the hits at Merriweather Post.
God, I can't wait till summer.
Be nice. It'll be nice.
Next Thursday is going to be 60.
I threaten
that's going to feel like 85. I might have a driveway happy hour next Thursday.
It's also supposed to rain.
I doubt I'm going to do it. Look, I've got three kids. Kelsey's already 21.
Right. I'll still be outside.
She'll graduate from college. In May, so graduate from NYU.
Can't believe
it. My son turns 15, got a 4.5-year-old. So once the kids get older and like move out, which is what kind of Cakes is dealing with.
Yep.
But you're not going to want to move to the other side of the planet. But I threaten this all the time because I grew up going to Puerto Rico. It's half Puerto Rican. We have an apartment there on the beach. Why wouldn't I move there?
No, you totally should. Why wouldn't you? You 100% should. You already have a place there. It's not even, you don't have to procure a home or an apartment. It's there.
Yeah, but I only half own that place with my brother.
Well, buy your brother out.
Yeah, not that sized. Right now to buy him out. I think we're going to sell it.
Okay.
I think we sell it, but it doesn't preclude me from buying 10 years from now.
Right.
That's correct.
Or freaking renting.
Mm-hmm.
You sell and you rent. Or I do like what all the, like right now that apartment is being rented January, February, and March. A lot of Canadians go to Puerto Rico and they just want to get out of the cold, right?
Sure.
But why wouldn't I do that when I'm older?
You definitely right? should.
I don't like shoveling. I'm going to be so Rick when I get a shovel.
We already talked about that. I mean, shoveling's terrible.
When you get to a certain age, you either pay somebody else to shovel or you get sympathy shoveling. Like Amy's in-law. Who do you think shovels my in-law's driveway? My wife and I. Because Amy's parents are getting up in the age where they shouldn't be shoveling.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
nor driving, for that matter.
I agree with that, too. But you're going to get to a point where you're going to be like, I'm not going to go break my back shoveling my stupid driveway. Either my kids are going to come over and do it, or I'm going to pay some jerk who lives down the block a 20 spot or 50 bucks to shovel my driveway.
Yeah, I agree. Wait till you see how miserable it's going to be tomorrow.
All right. It's going to be super windy.
It's going to be windy and butt cold, wind chills in the singles. And you're just going to walk outside and go, why do I live here?
I got to tell you, I'm somewhat of a runner. I don't consider myself
Jakes,
like.
Why do we live
I don't consider myself a runner like the hardcore runners that run 3 days a week no matter what.
Right.
Like I did run, I think it was a few days ago. It was semi nice. And I went for like a 30 minute run. Right. But when it's under 32, I'm out on running.
Yeah.
Like, and then I see these. There's a woman in my neighborhood, and my wife said, I think she's like really competitive, like maybe has finished like, I'll just say top 20 in like the Boston Marathon or something like that, which I actually question my wife as like, she's not
pretty sick.
I was like, she's not Ethiopian.
Right.
Nigerian.
Right.
Are you sure? But she runs all the time. It's like 10 degrees outside. I'm like, what are you doing? I know Farley is like that.
He's like that. I mean, he's kind of brainwashed me to be like that to an extent. I think the first day I came down with the vid, I ran that morning. And it was like 14 degrees out.
Oh, what are you doing, Cakes?
But I just did.
Don't you got a Peloton?
I do, but I just got up. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I layered up and I went out and did it. And then when I got home, I was like, that was stupid.
Yeah,
I feel terrible.
It was one of the days earlier this week where it was sunny and it was like 38 or, you know, 45, whatever the heck it was. And I actually went for a run with shorts and about 5 minutes in, I was like, why didn't I throw in some sweatpants?
Oh, I thought you meant you went with blue shorts.
No.
No. I was like, he's running? Good for him.
Where does blue shorts even live? Is he alive?
I don't even know.
When's the last time you've seen blue shorts?
In person?
It's been
probably at least a year.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I talked to him a few times. He actually helped me with Still Barking.
Very
interviewed
good.
Him.
Yep.
And he's featured in the book. But I have not seen him in, I'm going to say, 2.5-3 years. When's the last time we saw blue shorts?
I don't know, man. It's been quite a while.
But anyway, I'm just, weekend plans. Yeah, I'd like to work out, not running outside.
No. No, but you're right. People will be out there tomorrow running around, and they're crazy. They are nuts.
There's somebody in my neighborhood. So I leave, you know, like 5:10, I'm in my car. There's some dude every day. I'm always afraid I'm going to back out and hit him because he's always running in that range.
Dude, there when I'm driving in.
And he doesn't run on the sidewalk. My neighborhood has a bit where people like run on the street or sometimes they walk on the street and on the sidewalk. I don't get it.
There are some wackadoos like on Wooten Parkway. Okay, now there's a path there. They're not running on Wooten Parkway. That would be suicidal. But they're there at like 4:50 in the morning just grinding it. And that's when you know you're super hardcore, when the sun's not even close to being out and it's 25 degrees and you're running and it's not even 5 in the morning yet.
Dante Whitner wakes up by choice, Cakes, at like 4:15 every morning to work out.
He's
had to work out and look at film.
He's got a way better work ethic than I do. Because I can tell you, if I had the millions in the bank that he probably does, I'm not waking up at 4 in the morning. Ever.
Dante's my boy. I love him.
And I'm not waking up at 6 for the junks. I can tell you that, too.
Dante.
I'm just not.
You're trying to say it into fruition, aren't you?
Yeah. I want to become boys.
I know. If you say he's my boy enough, he'll be your boy.
If I ever go out to the Bay Area.
He's your guy.
We're going to go out to Pebble again, maybe hang out with Dante.
Ooh, that's a great idea. Invite him out for a drink. Share a bottle of wine.
Jason, somebody wrote this.
What?
Kevin tweets us a lot. Kevin Sykes. He goes, you guys need to check Jason's pants. He has chub. T needs to play the Dante Whitner interview at home, but she may get some.
That is my guy.
Full-on man crush for Dante.
Let me guess.
But
if he didn't play for the Niners, I probably wouldn't like him as much.
I am not in studio, but I'm guessing Jason is wearing his Under Armour navy pants.
Ding, 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 ding. Every single day this week.
He wears those Blickies all the time.
Yeah, they're my most comfortable pants.
Hey, do you want his number? You can text him over the weekend. Ooh, maybe you guys can text that back and forth during the game.
Yeah, text me his number. Hey, Cakes, what's your best, real quick, what's your best bet? I know we already did the parlay, but your best bet out of the two games.
My best bet is not to talk to Charlie Casserly about anything other than the 30-year anniversary of the Redskins winning the Super Bowl.
That was awkward.
But my best bet is the over in the Bengals-Chiefs game.
All right, you like the over 54 and a half.
I like back and forth, back and forth.
Hey, how psyched are you going to be if Uzama has two touchdowns?
I know that's not going to happen.
Plus 1,900. That was Linnell's play in our Junkies parlay. I just retweeted it at Junkies Radio.
All Linnell is doing is nuking the parlay.
Trying to win us some money, boys.
I know. It's a little bit of a long shot, though.
25 large, Jason.
If you look it up, he's actually done it this season.
Hey, I hope you're right. I hope it happens.
I was about to make up a number, but
we got to get out of here. Linnell, thanks for helping us out all week. Valdez.
My man, Linnell.
Lurch, Cakes, JP, B. Mitch and Finley up next.
We are out of here.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.